Welcome back to the Trifecta Soft Podcast. I'm your host, E-Rock. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button if you haven't already so you never miss another podcast. Also, do me a favor. Go on to whatever podcast app you listen to us on and give us a rating and review. That really helps us rank in the searches. Thank you so much. Let's get into the podcast.
Here is the medic box. This is completely waterproof. The battery is built in. The charging port right here, so I don't have to open this up. And then the power key. This is it right here. The band will still scan through this plexiglass. It can scan up to an inch and a half thick piece of wood. I've tested it personally.
Welcome, brother.
Well, thank you for having me on. Brandon kind of told me a little bit that you guys hooked up together, and I've seen some of your podcasts on Discord and running through. I believe I have you on Instagram as well. So
nice,
great community, great connectivity. I don't seem like it, but I'm excited about it. Got a lot going on in my head right now. So
no, you're good, bro. I mean, we don't have to be jumping up and down all these, you know, on this thing. It's there we go. It's cool. Sometimes I'm really energetic and in these, and sometimes I'm not. It just depends. So in the past, when I would start drinking, like especially if the other guy was, you know, whoever I'm talking with, we were drinking or whatever. Man, about 20 minutes in, especially if we're, you know, mixing, like if we have a mixed drink or, you know, drinking straight whiskey or something or bourbon. Oh, 20 minutes in, man, we're already telling, you know, rambling and telling long stories and all up in it. But yeah, we're good. No big deal.
Man, got the whole keg of little t-shirts, coffee mug. I like that glow sign you have back there too.
That's dude. Thanks for bringing that up. So it's been a while since I mentioned this. This was a guy the flag above it. I bought the flag above it. So this is a guy, when we started our Instagram, he was his Instagram name was Hateful Hank. And when we started our Instagram for Trifecta Airsoft, it was real early on in our channel, and I was scrolling through, and his popped up in my feed because his channel was like, even though he does woodworking, his channel, you know, he's an airsofter. So I saw one of these on his Instagram, and I said, and I messaged him. I didn't know him at all, and I said, dude, do you make those? Like, do you sell them or whatever? He's like, yeah. I said, I want to buy one. So I told him what I wanted, and we were talking, and I told him about our channel and everything, and so he sent me this. I think the flag was like $200, okay? Now, that wood is burnt. It's not painted.
Yeah.
So, oh, wow. Which is freaking awesome. And those stars on there around the 1776, those are hand-pressed or whatever you call it. You know, like he has his own little thing. It's really well done. Anyway, so when he sent me this, he goes, hey, I made you something special. And I sent it with the flag. Okay, so it was a separate box, but he sent them both together. That was the thing he made. It's a piece of wood that's burnt. And he put a piece of plexiglass over it with a LED like strip underneath that shines up through it. And he etched the Trifecta symbol and our name underneath the logo. And then it has the little clicker thing for, you know, you can change colors, red, blue, or whatever. I was like, bro. So he made that and sent it for free as a gift.
Wow. And you just don't find that hardly anymore.
Oh, I'm telling you, bro.
Everybody's got a nickel and dime you for everything. I tell you.
Yeah. So shout out to Hateful Hank. If you're still out there kicking it, man, with the woodworking, awesome job. If you guys, anyone watching or listening, if you haven't seen his channel, go see, Instagram page, go check him out and get some good work, woodwork stuff done. It's cool. Yeah. So, and I've got the patches, some of the patches from different events and different people I've talked with. That's probably just half of them. Yeah. So they keep falling off this, this wall, cause it's not really a patch wall. It's like, that sound deafening foam. So they stick a little bit, but then they'll fall off every once in a while. So
I'll have to send you some of our KDK merch that we have. I had a new patch designed. I'm kind of on the fence about changing our logo. I kind of want to, but I kind of don't, because our logo actually kind of ties into the business. My brother's made it. He came up with it.
Yeah.
And so the KDK is actually all of our initials. So Kyle, Dylan, Kyle. So there's two Kyles that run this, little brother. He's like my little brother, but not really. And he's married in and removed, I guess. Kind of a weird deal. But yeah, all three of us started this business, and they both at this now, if they've bowed out, because I guess they didn't realize how much hard work a business is. They thought it was gonna be like smooth sailing and easy going, and we got into it about 8 months, and they were just like, yeah, no, this isn't for me. I'm out. I was like, what?
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize, man, most businesses, if you don't have a huge chunk of like startup capital to actually live on while you're doing the business, you have to work full time, your regular full time job, and do that until it gets up to, and that it's like working two full time jobs.
And you know what? I tell you something. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever really thought about it. I've been seeing a lot of airsoft fields pop up lately, and you know, I've had people ask me about them and how to run it, and everything. And you know, I welcome it. I really do. You know, you get a lot of people out there. Well, what about the competition? And I think that's our one big weakness that we have, is everybody's always trying to be in competition with each other. And what they don't understand is that if you work together and you both build the airsoft community together, that's just more people that can get involved. And you know, some weekends I might have some of your normal players at my field, and some weekends you might have some of my normal players at your field. But the thing is we live off of each other. But you know, yeah. I didn't have a big startup capital whenever my brothers and I started this business. So they injected a little bit into it, and I injected a big chunk into it. And if anybody ever tells you that it's a minimum 5 years to get that business up off the ground and get your name out there and get it going, listen to them. Because my mom, of all people, you know, she stands behind me and she's proud of everything that I've built. But she told me that. She said, you know, it's gonna take a long time. And I was like, yeah. It's fine. You know, there's nothing like that around this area. It'll be booming. And man, that was so funny. I was going through my desk the other day, and I found the notebook that my brother and I, my little Kyle, we call him Little Kyle. And we had wrote down a whole bunch of numbers and everything on what we were going to charge and how many players to expect and birthday party prices and concessions and all that stuff. Just like, it was crazy. I'm happy to say that our figures have, after 4 years, have finally started creeping up to those fictitious numbers that we created. But it's been a up and down. My introductory into airsoft was Evike High Ground down in Houston, Texas. Yeah. And
okay.
Yeah, man. So never played. I grew up in the paintball world, like most people. Yep, my age.
Same.
And so I played at the local field here. I played at the bunker when it was still going. Unfortunately, I didn't get to hit any D-days, but, you know, it's still, that was my world. And My brother tried to drag me into Airsoft, and I was running. I was a project manager for a big company working in aluminum beverage facilities. And we were in Houston doing a job, and he's like, hey, let's go play Airsoft. And, you know, my thought for Airsoft was like what I seen in like pawn shops and stuff like that, the little one pump Springer, you know, 12 round magazine pistol. And I was like, why would anybody want to run around and go shoot each other with those things? You know, maybe at the house in the backyard or something. And so he takes me, he pestered me for 3 weeks to go out there and go play. And I was like, finally, I was just like, fine, I'll go once. Just leave me alone. We'll go. That was it, man. That's all it took. I went down there. I rented all my equipment, high ground. And I was like, man, this is awesome. I went the second time and I dropped like $500 on gear and bought my first airsoft gun and vest and mags and all that. And then I really dove into it. And about the fourth time I went, because I think we probably went almost every weekend in a row back to back. And I was like, man, I can do this in Joplin. There ain't nothing like this up. Kids don't have nothing like this up here to do. And so I started talking to him about it. It's like, hey, you guys want to start something like this up in town? And they said, sure, why not? We'll give it a go. And so KDK Airsoft was born in a pickup truck. And it's kind of funny on our breaks, on our lunch and everything else. And it was great. It really was. But my expectations, you know, going back to the numbers, walking into people that have been into an e-bike store, they probably have $250,000 or more merchandise of Merc on the walls. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm sure.
Have you ever been inside of an e-bike store?
No. I've seen the videos where the people do the walkthroughs.
Yeah.
I've seen their walls. It's crazy.
Those walls are real. That was my expectation when I walked in. When I walked into this and we got this building, I've never been happy. I'm always changing. I can't sit still. I'm always adding, building. And it goes back into that, you know, like you said, if you don't have a large chunk of money to either put down into the business to get the inventory in and build the field and everything, or you know, split it 50-50 where you have money that you can take off of a job off or, you know, retire your full-time job and open up a business. It's very difficult. It really is. I think for the first year, I tried really hard, to not work. You know, being that I traveled on the road, I had an RV, I parked it out next to the property, that I lease, and I did all the plumbing, plumbed in my RV, did all the electrical and everything. And I lived in my RV next to the building for a good year. And I'm going to tell you what, there were some struggles up and down, man. I didn't think I was going to make it. I really didn't.
Sure.
And just one more weekend. Here we are 4 years later. One more weekend.
So when you started, when you actually started the business, what kind of work were you doing before?
I am a welder. That's, you know, I went to high school for it and took a local vocational classes during my high school junior and senior year.
Yeah.
Graduated. And as soon as I graduated, I jumped out and I started welding on the road. And you make really good money on the road, but when you make really good money, you also know how to spend really good money.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that savings up that I wish I would have if I would have.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, the what ifs.
Yeah, for sure.
Hindsight's 20/20. But yeah, that's what I was doing. I was welding on the road and worked my way up through a company to where I was managing the projects and while the boss was, you know, getting other projects and everything, and just come up with this idea after going to play. And, you know, I left that job. I came here and started this up, but I have since gone back to working full time. As a matter of fact, you know, like I'd said before when we were messaging, that I work two jobs, so I still weld. I weld for another company now, not the same one, just a Monday through Friday gig. And then, ironically enough, I went back to that vocational school that I learned my got my welding education from, and now I'm teaching adult welding education there.
Awesome.
So it's kind of come full circle, and it's really been amazing.
We'll be right back.
This episode is sponsored by Skirmish, the future of airsoft gameplay management. Are you ready to take airsoft to the next level? Skirmish's innovative gameplay solution keeps players and spectators engaged with real-time updates. Capture objectives, detonate targets, medic, and more at Skirmish-enabled fields. Skirmish tracks every action so you don't have to. Review past games, action by action, and follow your progress in national rankings. Phones are not required. If you want to find out more, head to skirmish.net and check out episode 157 of this podcast, where I talk with the owner of Skirmish about how it started and how it works. Stay connected, my friends. That's the best way to learn or relearn a lot of techniques too, is when you start teaching it.
Man, you have no idea how much truth is in that statement. You know, whenever I went back, I asked them, I was like, well, do you guys have a lesson plan or anything? Because I knew the retiring welding instructor was there when I went to school. And he wasn't my instructor because he does adult education and I was in high school. And he did not have a curriculum. He didn't leave a curriculum or nothing. And they were just kind of like, yeah, no, it's yours. Make it your own. And I was just like, what?
Oh, my gosh.
And let me tell you what, if you think that you remember a lot of stuff when you do it every day, you're wrong. I went back and was trying to teach some of these guys. And you know what? In 15 years, a lot of things has changed in the welding world for me. And trying to teach these students that was just like, oh, man, really? When did this change? This is in code now? And it was a big eye-opener. Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah, that's I remember when I started, you know, when my wife and I have been married for a long time. We have five children. They're all adults. They're all in their 20s. And we have three boys and two girls. And when my boys were young, you know, starting to grow up, and we had to go, you know, we start going to church or something, you know, they're getting dressed up and they want to learn how to tie a tie. I'm like, I had done it for so many years, you know, growing up Catholic and, you know, going to church all the time. I'm like, how do you teach somebody? Let me see. Cause you do it without thinking, you know, you do these repetitions, like without even thinking, like just even the little techniques. Right. And, I remember teaching my boys and I'm like, oh, okay. Like I actually have to think about each step so I could teach them the same way.
It's crazy. You know, I tie that back into airsoft too. I mean, getting in and playing and then going over these rules and everything every day, repeated the same over and over again. And it's kind of like, are some of these necessary? And then they go out and play and you're like, yes, they're necessary.
Dude, when I first started this channel, I had no idea about airsoft, and my boys got into airsoft. Two of my older boys got into airsoft. This is, So we started this channel March of 2019. So next month will be 5 years. Holy crap. Dude, holy cow. I was coming out of being paralyzed from an illness and I needed something to do. And these guys had just started airsoft. And I said the same thing, bro. When they said that, like, we're going to Johnny's to play airsoft, I was like, what are you, 10? Like, they were in their 20s, you know? They're like 22 or 23 or something. And I'm like, what are you, 10? And they're like, no, it's way different than the way it used, you know, what we had when we were that age, you know. So we started this channel, and I mean, it's been a wild ride, man. It's been a wild ride. I can't believe it's been 5 years already. But yeah, I knew nothing about airsoft. Didn't know. And so I'm thinking about, they're coming back telling me, oh, there's this rule and there's that rule. They're talking about MEDs. And I'm like, what's a med? And they're like, minimum engagement distance. I'm like, why would you need that? Like, who, you know? And then, so then they would tell me these scenarios, especially indoor play. And there's like a lot younger, you know, kids there, you know, generation there. So, and I'm like, oh, okay, I got it. And then I start looking at videos online. I'm like, oh, that's why they have these rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes sense.
I get, you know, let's talk about meds for a second. I don't know how much airsoft you've played, but I get so much hate at my field for med, like indoors, outside. So I run three fields at my business. I have an indoor field. I have an outdoor field that we call the city, and then we have a woods field, a lot larger. It's not very large. I got 3 acres on the woods, 25,000 square feet on the outdoor field, and about 7,000 or 8,000 square feet on the indoor field. So indoor field is very much CQB, very fast paced, very in your face. And, you know, we want the sport to be enticing for ages, you know, 10 and up. We really do. You get these young teenagers or young adults that come in, and you know, they're all hyped up on adrenaline, and you know, let's just face it, they're in a lot better shape than we are, and they're running around like crazy, and so that adrenaline's going, they're not thinking about getting shot close. They get shot close and they're just like, oh yeah, and they shrug it off and they go, they respawn, they come back in. But when you got a 10, 11, or 12 year old this is their first time going, and they get point blanked, they're going to be like, yeah, no, I don't like airsoft, man. And then they're going to be done, you know? And so with meds, it gives them a little bit of a chance to not be shot at full velocity or energy from the BB coming right out of the end of the gun. But man, let me tell you what, I catch a lot of hate. I hear the people whispering in the background, and they don't think that you hear them, but they're like, man, why we got med? Why can people just get shot? It's like, well, you may like it, but your neighbor next to you, man, I don't like getting shot close. Heck no. That's not on my to-do list for sure.
No, nobody does, man. I remember when the one time I went with these guys to a indoor field, and I was just there to film and while they were playing. And I'm walking around with, the field actually gave me a riot shield, which is pretty cool, you know. So I'm filming behind the riot shield stuff. I'm just using my phone. And somebody shot me in the back on accident. You know, they just turned a corner and saw a person standing. I was right in the middle of the field, like in the open spot. So I didn't care if I got shot. I knew I would. You know, I was just trying to get a good filming spot. So dude shot me right in the lower back, you know. It was pretty close. Ooh. But I was like, okay, that hurt.
But right. The soft spots, the love handles,
bro.
Man. Oh, the fingers, the worst one that I see everybody take shots in, is in the fingers. And I tell everybody, you want gloves? And they're like, no. And I'm like, you're gonna.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, that's I'm sure you've learned a lot over the last you know, few years of running the field with that kind of stuff, with the med and everything. And one of the fields, well, now you guys have meds for, like, what's the, where you have no med? What, is there a limit where you, like a FPS where you don't have to have a med?
So there's a big fight too, FPS. We run everything off of joules out here.
Yeah, joules.
At the facility. So our field limit is 1.49 joules, but a lot of people come in, which is 400 FPS with 0.20s, which is a lot of fields.
Hot. That's fast.
It is. Now outside indoor, a lot of people are running like one joule, so it's not as bad. Most of our rentals run about one joule. You know, we have HPA limits that are 1.39 joule, and those guys like to ride that line right there, right at the top. But our med inside is mandatory just because it's CQB and it's close. And honestly, that's really what I've seen in the couple of indoor fields that I've been in, is They all have meds. I don't think I've been in an indoor field that doesn't have a med. Outside, though, our meds are not mandatory. So because there's a lot more space. I mean, it's going from, 7,000 square feet or so to 25,000 square feet. So you can move around. And I always tell people, if you think you're quick on the trigger, do it. Now, the only thing that we do ask is, again, those younger kids, you give them the opportunity for surrender. I mean, don't just come in there and blast some, 11-year-old in the back or something, because you got the drop on him. And, give them the safety kill and then move on about your way.
Yeah.
But yeah, indoors is mandatory. It's mandatory. Face guards are mandatory inside too. I've had a couple people get their teeth shot out.
Yeah.
Not listening to me about that. It's like, hey, need to put on some lower face bro or mouth guard or something. I'm fine. I swear both times that's happened, that game, they got their teeth shot out.
Blame you for that one, man. That's that rule right there is, I feel like that's a no brainer for indoors. Indoor fields, I feel like, you should have to have one. You're trying to be tough or look cool or whatever without one. I don't know. But, playing paintball, we would have never, never thought to play paintball with just goggles on. Like, what?
No.
No. Dude, I had a paintball bounce off my mask, and the guy was probably 30 feet away. He wasn't close. And a paintball bounce off my mask on the side and went through the vent. The shield on the front, bounced off the cheek, went through the vent. So it had already busted and then hit my tooth and my top lip and tooth. I had a fat lip and my tooth was, I didn't chip it luckily, but it hurt like hell.
Yeah.
And that's after hitting the mask and breaking. And I can't imagine getting shot in the face with, and then of course, the BBs at 400 FPS. I've seen the ones where they pop them out of their cheeks, but
I've watched some of those videos on YouTube with those guys over in Europe and stuff. And this guy catches one like right here and then he squeezes it and this freaking BB pops out of your face. Like ain't no way. Back in the paintball days, you're talking about catching one in the side of your mask. I remember catching them in the front right here where the mouth guard was at and it shattering through there and cutting my lip. I couldn't even imagine if it would have just hit me without lower face pro on. Ain't no way, man. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. So that's good. You have the face guard rule with especially, you have such a wide range of, age range. You have a lot of younger players that come out there, especially for little parties and stuff like that. And there's been, I think the youngest guy I've had on is 13. And so I've gotten kind of their perspective as well. And so they, all of the younger players have, even the older players that started out young, at 10, 11, 12, like they went with their brother, they went with their dad to an indoor field. Like they went out there, got shot once, and they sat in spawn, just waited because they were too afraid to get shot again. So, this is a very common, it's a common story, so I understand, running the field where you're trying to help younger players get started and if they get shot too hard, man, they're not coming back.
No, they're done. A lot of fields too, they don't offer the semi only, no burst, no binary, obviously no full auto. Everybody's seen that video. This ain't full auto. This is, kind of deal. And, I've built a couple guns that are like that. And I'll tell you what, HPA, you can do it without even thinking, especially if you mess with the dwell settings and everything on the FCU. I catch some hate about that too. Oh, how come you don't allow this or allow that? And a lot of these players don't understand, or maybe they forgot, when they started playing airsoft, what it was like stepping out onto the field and for the first time. And it really can be nerve-wracking, even seasoned players. Just to be honest with you, I don't even play my indoor field anymore. My own personal indoor field, I don't even play it anymore because, you know, I got goggled by a guy shooting .28s inside, and he was shooting. Actually, that was before I lowered the HPA limit down from 1.49. But I got shot in the goggles right here, right on the bridge of my nose, and instant migraine, just like that, like flipped a switch. And that happened about a year ago, year and a half ago. And I have played 2 indoor games since then.
Nice.
Yeah, that I just it. So think about this. You know, I'm an airsoft field owner. I would consider myself a seasoned player. You know, I know my way around an airsoft gun and field and everything. And I took a hit to the face like that on an indoor field, and it shied me away from playing on my own field.
Yeah,
you know. So how would you feel? How do you think you would feel if you were this younger kid, you know, 10 to 13 years old, and that happened? Well, they'd be done. They wouldn't, you know, sure. I got to come back to this thing every weekend, you know. But
yep.
They would be like, I don't really want to go do that. I played. That wasn't for me. And
well, I mean, this is a hobby. So, you know, especially at that age, you know, young age, they're paying, they have to pay money, or their parents do, you know, to get there and play. So they're not going to do something that's not fun, you know? And so when they start out like that, now, speaking of age groups, do you guys offer, different types of, play at your field? Like, what do you do? Nerf, or what's the, gel blaster thing? Or
gel
whatever?
Blasters. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, actually, that is actually a really good one to get the young kids into. We go as low as age 6 on them. My stipulation for that is as long as the face mask, because anybody under the age of 18 on my field has to wear full face. Can't no goggles, no mesh mask, has to be full face. And I've caught some hate on that too, especially from that crowd. To the point to where I came up with a secondary waiver that the parent has to come in and sign to say, no, it's okay if they wear the two-piece. And I let them know, now this does not offer the same protection that full face does. Mm. So, you know, you understand that. And you know, most of the time they sign the additional waiver and, you know, they go about their way. But with gel blasters, my stipulation on that, especially with the younger kids, is they all wear full face mask, and the mask has to fit on their face. You know, they've got the head strap down the center and the chin strap on the bottom. And as long as it fits and seals on it, then, you know, they're good to go. And I get a lot of people asking about the gel blasters. I mean, we have birthday party specials that run off on them. When I'm not teaching, I usually run a gel blaster night on like Wednesday nights, on like a church night, and for the young kids to be able to have something to do, like after church or church activity wants to get together.
Oh,
and
that's
do
cool.
It. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's all. I love to hear these, the indoor fields that offer the Nerf and the, you know, all these different options. The gel blaster thing seems like a really cool option. Gel blasters they don't shoot very like as hot as, airsoft guns, right?
So if you get the little gel blaster guns, the ones that like the Surge guns, or you go to Walmart and go pick up the Nerf ones, Surge was the first ones that I've seen come out. I'm not saying that there wasn't others, like some Chinese knockoff brands and stuff. But then now there's a Walmart sells a variety of them. I want to say that they shoot about 200 FPS.
Okay.
Somewhere right around then. Now, like if they hit bare skin, they'll leave a little ring on you, and it'll stay on there for 10 or 15 minutes or so. And then it'll go away. Now I know there are some places that are banned airsoft, but they haven't banned the gels, and you can buy kits to convert your airsoft rifles over into gel blasters.
Whoa.
But that's cool. used from what I know, I've never done it. I've never messed with it. I've just heard about it, and I've done some light reading on it. And they use a special gelatin. So they're not the same gelatins that, you know, you go buy at Walmart and you hydrate in a tub and you know, shoot them in the airsoft or in the gel guns that Walmart sells. They're a little bit more hard. They're a little harder and a little bit more robust.
Okay.
Because if you tried to shoot one of those gelatins from Walmart out of one of those guns, it would just disintegrate inside the barrel. You can take them and pinch them and they turn into squish.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, how did you hear about or meet Brandon from Skirmish? And how did you get Skirmish involved in there? Speaking of, you know, I got the hat on, like you mentioned earlier, I got one of the bracelets. He sent me a handful of bracelets too. And, these things are awesome, man. Shout out to, he's a sponsor of the podcast. So, Brandon and I are pretty.
Look at you go, Brandon, if you watch this podcast later, buddy. Branching out, man. So, actually, it was not Brandon who reached out to me first. I had just started the airsoft field up. I want to say 6 months. I've had the system in June this year. I will have had the system 3 years. I got it on my birthday. As a matter of fact, it was a birthday present to myself.
Nice.
When we got installed on it. That's kind of funny. But anyway, he had another associate working with him, and I don't know their whole background. I know he's not there anymore. But he had got onto one of the Facebook pages that for Airsoft that I was on, and he made a post about, my goodness, this was almost 3 years ago, along the lines of who would like to see some kind of scoring system in Airsoft. And at the time, I was doing just that. I was trying to come up with something because all we had on the indoor field, at this time I didn't have my outdoor field up. And so all we had was the indoor field. And the only thing that we had was team deathmatch, single point and 3 point domination, and CTF. And, you know, we played that inside and, you know, team deathmatch is team deathmatch. You know how that goes. You get hit, you go back to respawn, you count. And then with our 3 point domination, I had found some LED 4 foot LED light strips on Amazon, bought them, spray painted them red and blue, and put them up inside our center buildings. And they had I wired them into light switches. And, you know, you just run back and forth and, you know, change the light switches back and forth. But there was no depth to that because basically it was just an all out team deathmatch until like the last 20 seconds of the game. And then everybody was scrambling to get to the lights and make sure that the enemy light was off and their light was on. So there was no depth to it. It was just team deathmatch until the very end, you know? And actually I had done something else too. No, that was when I got the Skirmish system. It's kind of blurring into one here. And then of course the CTF was just, you know, we had these two bases up and it's really hard to play CTF on an indoor field, especially one that's under 20,000 square feet. It's difficult because you have to be quick. And, you know, especially if you're playing like 8v8, on the indoor field, which is about the max that mine can do 10v10, but it's just absolute, it's mayhem. You can't walk around any corner without getting shot in there.
Oh,
so
sure.
we try to max it out at 16 players total on the indoor field, which is what drove me to do the outdoor field too. But so he got on there and messaged, and I thought it was a scam. I'm not even going to lie. He got on there and messaged and was like, I was like, yeah, you know what? Nobody else was really commenting on it or whatever. And I shot him a message and we chatted back and forth. And he's like, well, the system's not ready yet, but we're almost there. And it was really vague about the whole thing. And I was like, this is some dude in, you know, Pakistan or India or something trying to scam some money out of me or whatever. And I was like, you know what? We'll go for it. And I'm sorry, Brandon, I love you. I have total faith in this, I promise. So the gentleman's name was Bart, and it was really funny because I found we talked and then disappeared. He just completely disappeared. No messages, nothing. I was like, that just reiterated that this is a scam. They ain't doing nothing. They ain't got nothing planned. You know, I hadn't spent any money at the time, but, you know, I got my hopes up. And so I had bought, I don't know if you've ever seen these kind of things before, but like on assembly lines, how they have the light sensors. Anytime something passes the light sensor or breaks the light sensor, it goes to a counter.
Yep.
And so I bought two of those systems. Now the wiring on them was really short. So I went down to Lowe's and I bought some thermostat wire and I ran the wiring on my indoor field, set these light sensors up, and I made the respawns one way. So you could go in one way and then you have to go out the other. Excuse me. And so when you would go in one way, you would break that light curtain and it would put a number. I had those bars of those counters on top of a roof that's over, I don't know, it's like a little office on my indoor field that was there from the previous owners. And I had a camera pointed down to it, and I had that ran over to a DVR, which was hooked up to a projector that projected a score on the wall. So anytime that they would break that light curtain and they would go through, it would, you know, the counter would count and the camera was looking down at it and it projected up on the wall. So you could see, you know, how many kills the other team had, or how many kills you had got, how many times the other team had respawned. And so it worked.
That's a good system, man. Okay.
Decently. Something I pulled out of my head, you know, I just kind of threw it together. And actually, as a matter of fact, I was going through some stuff and I found those light bars. So they're the counter bars. But anyway, so I come up with that and we were using it, was working. So, and so it gave a little bit more of a point to Team Deathmatch, because I had some, you know, people, I don't really want to play Team Deathmatch. There's not, I mean, what's the point? You just run out there, you waste a whole bunch of ammo and there's no score at the end of it. And I got that. So that's how I came up with that counter system. And then there's a gentleman, he's based out of Canada, and he sells kits for escape rooms. And he had, and then I think he also eventually branched out into paintball. And I think he marketed as paintball. He didn't market it as airsoft. And so I'm online constantly trying to find these things. And I connected with the guy and I ordered one of his bomb kits. Now it was just a circuit board with a timer on it and a siren and a keypad, and you had to build your own bomb. So basically this thing was just the brains and you had to build the thing. And actually, as a matter of fact, I still have that in there. We use it on our woods field every now and then, and we call it Betty. Betty, Bomb Betty. And so me and my buddy bought a Pelican case, and, you know, we again just pulled it out of our heads and built this bomb thing. Now, it was not cheap. You know, you could buy one from Evike, and it was like $800 or something for their prop bomb. And I considered it about that much. And I, you know, being a new business and not working and trying to, you know, pay my car payment, pay my RV payment and keep the business going, I was like, yeah, I can't afford no $800 bomb. Right. And so I found this one, and it cost me, by the time I bought all the supplies and materials and the Pelican case and the brains, I want to say it cost me about $300, all said and done. And so I designed this thing, put it in there. It's got a key on and off. It's got, it has the ability to where you can cut the wire. If you select the right one and you cut it, it'll turn the bomb off. But if you choose the wrong one, it resets the timer and it starts counting down faster. And it was really good. And I had it 2 months And Bart called me. He's like, hey, this is Bart. I think he messaged me, and then I gave him my number and he's called me. And we got the system ready. They did a lot of testing up in at Ballahack or Ballahack, whatever you want to call it, up in Pennsylvania. And they were ready to. Did you do that?
No, that's a default setting on Discord, especially when people are using their phones. I think it's built into the Discord when you do some kind of gesture. It does that.
That's great. That's awesome. Okay. So they had done their preliminary testing at Ballahack, and they called me up and they said, hey, we have this system. We really want to get it out there and get the name out there and we want you to give it a shot. Do you want to do it? And they were like, and I was like, you know, sure. How much is it going to be and blah, blah. And we settled on a price. And so KDK Airsoft was the first field to, these gestures are killing me.
Yeah. Right.
was the first field to incorporate skirmish into airsoft. Now they tested up at Ballahack, and, Brandon and Bart both flew in. I think Bart was from California. I don't remember where Brandon was living at the time. But anyway, so they both flew in, and we got the system all set up. They showed me how to work it and everything. And man, it's been awesome. And I'll say I was pretty proud for about the first year and a half. KDK Airsoft dominated the leaderboard. That's just for the simple fact that they didn't have a lot of systems out there yet. Uh-huh. So I think Brandon has since grown to about, I want to say we're at like 13 or 14 fields. I haven't looked on the page in a while. I just go in and run games, and it's grown. I mean, and Brandon's awesome with the system. You know, if I get a harebrained idea about a new game mode or a new feature or whatever, you know, I got his number and I'll just message him and I'm like, hey, we should totally try this. And he's like, that's a really good idea. I was like, pull out your nerd brain, man, and get to coding. I don't know any of that. I'm not a coder. You know, Brandon's awesome. He's really smart and he can pull some tricks out, man. And he gets it done. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna push this update on your system so we can test the bugs and see how it works. And then we'll get it all worked out. Then we'll release it. And so I'll probably for the first 2 years that we've had the system, you know, Brandon and I have worked together on it. And he is the total mastermind behind this whole thing. I don't have any other than paying for the system that I have and buying and purchasing the boxes and all that stuff. I don't have any, assets or anything into the system. I enjoy it. And I really want to, I want to see it grow. I want to see these other fields incorporated. And I really think that they should, because it gives your field a lot of dynamics. Like team deathmatch just isn't team deathmatch anymore. There's a point to it. There's a scoring. And now, just like airsoft is an honor sport, using the skirmish system is an honor. You know, you have to go in and you have to scan, and there's a bit of a learning curve, especially for employees, for fields. And if you cycle out a lot of people, it can get a little bit overwhelming. As a matter of fact, there's a couple training videos that some other fields have done on how the system works. And Brandon and I have talked about doing one. And I actually started on it tonight, you know, 3 years later after we've talked about it. He doesn't know that yet because I haven't messaged him, but I've started taking pictures and doing videos of players using the system. And I'm going to put it up on a TV on my wall per the game mode. So like if we're doing team deathmatch, it's going to have a list on how the system works and what you're supposed to do in a little short video. And then and then I'll do it to everyone, because the system, he has added so many features in the past 2 years that it's just, if you haven't grown with the system like I have, it can be overwhelming.
Sure.
And I even have some things that I get in there, and he'll ask me, he's like, "Hey, have you tried this yet?" And I was like, "No, when did you put this feature in?" And he's like, "We talked about it like 2 months ago." And I was like, "Man, that was 2 months ago. you gotta remind me about this stuff." And you know, you could play like Infection, 3-point domination now is not just a big scramble at the end of the game. It actually keeps track of the longer you hold the points, the more points that your team gets, kind of deal. You get points for working together. So like if you're doing a capture game, the first guy, let's say it has a 2-minute capture, the first guy goes in and he scans it and he gets 2 points for initiating the scan. And then say he's got 3 other buddies that come in behind him and scan it. Each one of those buddies gets a point for scanning. And on top of that, it will also drop the timer down faster.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever he captures, if it gets captured, the guy that scanned it the first time gets another 2 points, I believe. It might just be a point. I think it's one or the other. He gets points again for completing the capture. And so, you know, it really rewards airsoft players for doing what airsoft is, and that's a team sport. And yeah. You even if you work together with players that you don't normally, you know, you just walked in today and you met them today and you're like, "Hey, let's go kick some butt on this 3-point domination game and, you know, follow me, you know, we'll get all these, I'll get these points." And then the team comes out on the top. And it also gives the fields the ability for recognition to players that come in and they put the effort in, you know, and that keeps players engaged. So something that I'm getting ready to start up is actually like a player of the day and then a player of the week and a player of the month. So I'm going to have, you know, Skirmish keeps track of all of those stats.
Right.
And so you can pull it up and you're like, okay, so KDK player of the day is, you know, I don't know who's Jackson. He comes in, he's like one of my biggest players now. He jumped into it. I thought I jumped into it head first. That poor kid, like, he jumped into the deep end and hit the bottom. And so, you know, he would probably be, honestly, he'd be number one all the time because he's out here. If we're open, he's here. It's just crazy. But it gives you the option. It gives these fields options. And if you have players that come in all the time and they play, it can be a very large marketing tool as well. You know, if you, let's just say you pull up like, you know, I'll probably catch some hate on this, but whatever. So like a Lancer Tactical Nightshade High Kappa, you know, knockoff.
Yeah.
Let's the Baba Yaga or whatever. And you put that pistol up and be like, "Hey, you know, we're going to track all of your stats, everybody, for a month. And the person that comes out of the top is going to win this pistol." Mm-hmm. And, you know, that gets people in and gets them playing. This is absolutely insane. So everybody loves the APO1, APO1 pistols.
APO1.
Yes. Everybody loves them. They're everywhere. They have massive support on Amped Airsoft. Amped Airsoft has a section dedicated just to those pistols.
Oh, sure.
For parts, upgrade parts and everything.
Oh, they're great. Yeah. So,
Jackson, again, this is hilarious because he comes in and he gets one. And he, you know, he orders everything from me, orders all the HPA kit and everything from me and gets it and starts playing with it. Well, then for Christmas last year, his mom came in and bought him a Polestar F2 engine for his rifle.
Nice.
$480 engine and bought it for him. And then for New Year's, I gave away a full HPA AAPO1 kit. And you will not believe who won that kit. Not Jackson. Even kidding. Jackson won that kit. Like, not even joking.
And this was like a random raffle or something, right?
Yeah, 100% random. So
that's
so
crazy.
And I do this every now and then. And everybody just kind of looked at him and they were just like, "Really? Really?" you know, so he walked away with a new pistol. And, I try to do those kind of things. But that's completely done by chance. And you know, players, I really feel like they want to be rewarded for their hard work. They come out here, they put in the effort, they spend the money, and they want to see something for it. And the skirmish system can do that. You know, it can keep track of all those stats. And so I definitely got to get something implemented on that.
That's when I found out about this system. That's exactly how I thought. The way you thought about it when you saw it and saw how it worked and what the possibilities were, that's what I saw. I saw the potential in it. I saw a way for people to keep track of, to see progress after a game. Okay, like who won? Who did this? Who did the best? Who did that? And I was like, the way I found out about Skirmish was through a guest on the podcast, call sign Honey Badger, a couple years ago. He says, I went to this field and that he had never been to before, and I forget which one it was, and he said, they had this thing called Skirmish, and I was like, Skirmish? He's like, no, Skirmish, and he showed me the bracelet he came back with. And he's like, yeah, it's like this. You tap it and it does that. And I said, dude, send me, I'm going to look this up. You know, anyway, so I got in touch with Brandon and I said, I'd love to have you on the podcast about, you know, talk about this thing. He was showing me, so we did a podcast together and he showed me all the things. He actually showed the setup screen on his end, like what he looks at and how he can turn this on and turn this off and make this timer last a certain length or whatever for this box. And each box is programmable. And I was like, bro, this is what we need at MilSims, because I had gone to MilSims. Yeah. I was like, all right, I had gone to MilSims with my sons. Okay. And like Operation Stonebreaker is, you know, it's a very big, MilSim is hosted by Third Coast Airsoft. They have like 700 people there at the, you know, the one in March of 2022. And I'm going, yeah, well, who won? And at the end, they go, okay, green team won or tan team won. But yeah, well, there's 350 people on each team. Like, but how did each individual team do? Because I had, when we went there, I had already talked with a handful of people on the podcast that went to that event. And so there were a bunch of teams like Tryhards out of Florida. They had like 20 people on their team that went to that event. And I'm going, well, how do they know? How do the Tryhards know how their team did at that event? Well, they don't. Not when they're, you know, everything's done. It's like their numbers are all mixed in with all of Tan Team. And so I'm going, man, this system is awesome for doing that. Like, let's figure out who did what and who took over this point and who got, you know, killed the most, you know, all kind of ways to use this thing. And I was blown away. So I was talking about it to everybody. And I remember one guy said to me, I was like, wouldn't you want to use this at a MilSim? Wouldn't it be cool to see at the end, like, who did what, you know? And one of the guys said, I don't know. I mean, we don't really care who wins. And I'm going,
that's because this system has never been in airsoft before. So of course they're going to say they don't care, because they've never had to care. That there's never been, it's always just been, you know, yeah, they say we won, so we won. But
right.
This puts it in black and white, well, color, because, you know, on TV, but you know, exactly. Black and white right there. Like, no, this guy, oh man, totally. So Brandon designed this system working with Balahack. You know how big Balahack is?
Oh yeah.
It's a very large field. And he went from that to having me install it here on an 8,000 or 7,000 square foot indoor field. And I figured out how to take that system that he was trying to use for MilSims. I broke it. And I used it for things that he didn't even plan for, like how to do all this stuff. And he was like, you know, that's how we kind of got into, you know, working together back and forth and whatever. But I've said the exact same thing, like, you know, American MilSim. So I've been to Northern Front at Action Sports Wisconsin, And also went to Arsenal at the Muscatec Training Center this last year. And my last June, as a matter of fact. And they use ATAC there, which is, you know, does the global positioning and all of that stuff. But you have to have a phone on you with GPS, and not everybody's. I had to go buy a whole new phone to use the GoTac up there at Muscatec because my phone didn't work there, and I couldn't use their system. Now, granted, the box, the controller of Skirmesh, has to have a wireless connection. But I've spoke with Brandon about that and about making it mobile, and the amount of data that it transfers is minimal. So if you have the proper adapters and you have the proper Wi-Fi Go Pack, you can use a Wi-Fi hotspot with it and use it anywhere, because it's all a self-contained system other than that. Mm-hmm. And if your phone has signal, anybody can get on the system, and they log in, and then they select the map that they're playing on. Because like right now, anybody right now that's playing with the Skirmesh system that has a game going on, I can get on skirmesh.net and I can look and I can watch their games play.
Yep.
And the same time, anybody can look and watch any of the games that I'm playing. And so you get on there and you select that, and dude, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to steal it from you, but like I get so excited.
Oh no! You go, keep going. This is great,
because the Skirmesh system, you can get on there, you can look at it, and you don't need very much data to look and see, and you can plan. You can see, oh, you know, hey, we have this side over here. We got, now the only downside is that GoTac, because it uses GPS, is down to the individual player.
Mm-hmm.
Skirmesh doesn't have that capability because
right to see them in real time where they're at.
Right, it's all in the boxes. But you know that all falls back, if you're, you know, doing Milsim events, that all falls back on command and the command structure. And following
the thing about that ATAC thing, and people have told me about this, is the you know, when I brought this up to somebody, they said, oh, well, there's this whatever, you know, that kind of system, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds awesome. But who the hell wants to pull their phone out in the middle of a firefight in airsoft? Like, I don't care what kind of case you got. You're breaking that. Okay, that thing's getting broke.
I've told that to people. I've like, hey, you got your phone in your pocket? You're like, yeah, it's in my back pocket. And I was like, doesn't matter. I would strongly advise you, if you don't want to leave it on the table, we have lockable lockers in here. Go rent one. It's $2. Go put your phone in there. We'll give you the code. You lock it up. Nobody can steal it. You know, my Apple Watch, as a matter of fact, the one that my wife is wearing, because she's stubborn and won't let me go get it fixed. She's extremely frugal. I was wearing it on my outdoor field, and I stayed in the back because I don't like getting hit. I'll just be honest. I don't like getting shot. So I was staying in the back, you know, taking, you know, pot shots and guarding one lane. And at the end of the game, I came back in and my watch face was broke.
Oh my gosh.
And I never had anybody get close to me, or I did get hit around there, but it wasn't by anything crazy. Like, it didn't hurt, probably because it hit my watch.
Yep.
And it was just like that. It was done. And, but sorry, sidetrack. The GoTac system, you know, when I went to Arsenal, I purchased, they had the GoTac was there. And they were selling the Ule phone. I don't have it with me now, but I won't lie. This thing has a monstrous battery. I want to say it's got like an 8,000 milliamp battery. Like, whoa. I'm not even kidding. I've literally left this thing sitting on my desk for a week, getting Facebook updates, notifications, messages, whatever comes through on it, because it's just a spare phone for me. And, you know, it has service. It doesn't just run off of Wi-Fi or anything like that. So the service is running on it. Cell service is running on it. I've come and checked it back after a week of just sitting there, not plugged in. And the lowest I've ever seen that battery was 45%.
Holy cow. That's insane.
Amazing. Now, is it slow? It's slow. It's slower than molasses. I mean, it does not have the computing power of an iPhone. But if you want a rugged phone that, you know, so for GoTac to sell them with their software already installed and everything on it, perfect phone, especially for that Milsim event. Even with that Milsim event, me pulling my phone out, we had a chest, I don't know what it was. It was like a little pocket map flip down thing, but a buddy of mine, we each had one, and we modified it to fit our phones in it. So you can just flip it down and look at your phone and then close it back up and it would latch back up. And we were using that, but man, when you're in the middle of a firefight, you're not gonna pull out your phone and look at it or try and figure out what's going on or whatever. But that's the thing with the skirmish system, you know, and these Milsim companies or these event organizers, I'm sorry, they need to utilize the command structure a little bit better. The couple that I've been on has not been the greatest. As far as like issuing orders or telling people where to go or finding stuff or whatever, you know, and with that skirmish system, it's all done in real time. There's no, you don't have to wait for anything to load or whatever. And if you set one of those boxes up, and you can set it to do, you can set it as a capture point. You can set it as a respawn point. You can set it as a capture respawn point or a medic point. You can set it as a bomb. You can set it as, you can have it to where it changes people's teams if they scan it. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy the amount of things that you can do with it. And, you know, that's just like, okay, let's take this Milsim event that I went to at Arsenal. You know, they go off the flags, you know, cost and UFS on just like I did with the lights in here. You know, how long is the flag? Is the flag up? You know, you have to have a ref watching it. How do they keep track of that? How do they know? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they can just say, oh, well, UFS won Arsenal, or cost had a whole lot of war crimes. And, you know, because of war crimes, it deducted so many points or whatever. And how do you even keep track of that kind of stuff? You know, but with the skirmish system, now you can't keep track. Brandon actually did implement a new feature in it for war crimes, and that is controlled on the admin side. It's not controlled on the player side. So if that gets reported that a war crime was committed, you can put it in there and take it off. We haven't used it yet. So I haven't really dove into that feature. It's something new that he just released. I know it goes down to the individual player. So you can knock points down off of an individual player. So I don't know, which takes points away from the overall team, especially if you're in the game. But that's the thing, you know, going back to it, these Milsims are centered around teamwork. And like I said, with like the capture points, you get people in there. You can set those capture points to where it takes an hour to capture it to your team's side, or you can set it down to, I think, as little as a minute, or 30 seconds.
Yeah. 15 seconds or something like that.
Yeah. It's something crazy. But if you get a squad that goes in there and cleans it out, and then everybody gets in there and scans it, and you capture that point a lot faster.
Right.
You not only do you get the point faster, you get points for working together as a team, and that's all tracked. And that goes back to the main, to the admin, and they can see that, and it would allow them to make better command decisions on where to send people, because you can also change the point values of each capture point.
Right.
And I do that out here on my woods field. So like when we set it up, the capture points that are closest to the respawns, like red respawn or blue respawn, they're not worth as many points when you capture them as like, say, the center is, that's constantly heavily contested. And there's people always fighting, like in the fort out there, people are always fighting over it. You know, if you get embedded into the Ford, if you get a team embedded into a Ford, unless you have some EG67s, which unfortunately, thanks ATF for banning those, can't get them out. It's hard. It's hard to get them out unless you can work together as a team and push them out. And that goes for both ways. I mean, if blue team gets down the hill and up the hill and gets inside that, it's a pretty good struggle for red team to push them out and vice versa. But because of that, that center point is worth more points. It's worth, I think I do 4x on that. It's crazy. The potential, I just really wish, like, if anybody from Milsim West, American Milsim, which are the two biggest ones that I've known, I'm sorry that I'm kind of trapped in my little world running my field, so I haven't got to venture out very much. But anybody else that watches this podcast, look into the scrimmage system. Brandon even has a lease system. So if you don't want to purchase it, but you want to lease it for a game, or for an event, you know, just get a hold of him on Instagram or on Facebook and talk to him about it. And he can do it, and he can come in. It literally will take you 20 minutes for him to show you how to use the system. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And, you know, buying the bands. And that's the other thing. The bands aren't wasted. If you purchase a band, the skirmish band, like the blue one that you held up earlier, it can be used at any field that runs skirmish.
Yep.
And what's awesome as a feature that I asked them to add was the home field feature. So if I were to go, of course, my home field set to KDK Airsoft. I mean,
I would hope so.
So if I were to go up to Motor City or go to Nashville Airsoft or Action Sports, or what is that? Extreme Airsoft.
Extreme Airsoft up in Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. You know, if I were to go to any of those fields and take my skirmish band up there and play, and I'm going to play my heart out for one, because if my name gets up there on the top of that leaderboard, it's going to slap a big old KDK Airsoft name right at the top of their leaderboard. And it's just going to awesome. Be like, yes, you know, I come up here and I showed you guys how to use this system. So let's go, you know. Yep. And I get fired up about this. I really do. The system is amazing. I really wish that these Milsim event organizers would really look into it and give it the opportunity, because it's going to give you a lot more dynamics to your event. It really is. It'll change the way you go.
And well, let me add something to that too, because I think, you know, a lot of event coordinators have, over the years, they probably developed their own type of system, or like you said, American Milsim, you know, use the ATAC or whatever it's called. You know, that you can use this in unison or in conjunction with your existing system. You know, like when at Stonebreaker with these guys, you know, Third Coast has their they have like the boxes with the switches, like at different checkpoints, whatever, you know, objectives that you take over. So the team gets in there and they flip it over to, you know, tan team or whatever, and it starts counting points. So, and it does it for the, you know, all these different objectives, and it adds up at their, you know, their, FOB or whatever. They have, you know, the whole system where they can look at, like, I was in there watching with them at Stonebreaker last time while the guys were playing. I went in there with Sal, and I could see the main screen where they were looking at, you know, watching the points accumulate for either side, you know, while it's going on. So, you know, that's for the whole team, you know, all of green, all of tan, as they're going throughout, flipping these switches on these objectives. You can use, you don't have to get rid of that system. So an event coordinator, yeah, you wouldn't have to just throw out your system you're using. You could still use that. This would be, I don't understand why airsofters, once they learn about this system, why they wouldn't want to use it. Because I'm going, even if you're not that competitive, like when you get online and play Call of Duty with your friends, do you want to see the leaderboard at the end? Like, You want to see what you did, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I want to see my, now that's one thing that I really wish that we could integrate in is a kill death ratio.
Right.
That's a little difficult because, you know, you don't know who shot who.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, you have those people that have the counters on their guns or something when they know they get a kill or whatever, they click the counter on their gun or whatnot. So that's all the only downside with
right.
on the competitive side. But like you're saying, I mean, that leaderboard, man, after I got this system and people started learning about it, the first thing I hear, if I don't walk out of that field after reffing a game straight over to the control computer and get that leaderboard up on the screen on the TV in there, I got people hollering at me. They're like, "Hey, where's the leaderboard? We want to see how we did. I want to see how that game went." I'm like, yep. "What team were you on? Blue team? Yeah, you don't really want to see how this game went because you got stomped." And I've seen some pretty big point games on there. We're talking like 150, 100, 175 points on red side, and blue side was like 40.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they got walked on a couple of times.
Uh huh. But yeah, that's a good point, man. These guys with that system. Like I said, the first time I heard about it, I was impressed. I've even talked about, like, this is a great way for teams that like tryhards or like some of these other, you know, teams that go that some of these teams are pretty organized, you know, that go to these bigger milsims. You know, they've been playing together for years. They train, like they literally train together every weekend or two times a month or whatever before, you know, leading up to some of these events, and they'll be 20, 30 people strong going into a big event. And I'm going, wouldn't you want to know? Don't you, you gotta want to know how your individuals did on your team so you can work together to be better. And hey, remember what we did over here? You know, we can do that better. We didn't capture this, or, you know, it's just, you can, cause that skirmish, when you, you can't count the kills that you get, but you can count the deaths basically because of hitting the respawn box, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know, like milsims are a little different. Like you'd have, because you can get medic'd on the yes. field where you got shot.
I was gonna butt in on that and say it because I kind of figured that's where you were gonna go with it. So those boxes, because the system, the name skirmish, it runs off of a mesh system. So every box acts as a receiver and a transponder. So it takes in signals and it sends signals. Every box. And the signal will take the information will take the best path through the boxes to get back to the controller, no matter what. And that's the thing. We have them. I built them in there, but I haven't displayed them because I'm doing them for the Woods field. Medic boxes. So they're red boxes with a big cross on them. I've got a plexiglass plate cut out in it so you can see the box on the inside. They're waterproof. They're siliconed in. And your medics can carry those. And so...
Wait, what? They yes, can carry yeah. the box. So you yeah. got it set up where they can carry it. Because this is what... When he was telling me about this, I was like, so they have to be plugged in or something? He's like, well, I set them up with... where they like Tamiya,
yeah,
like Tamiya, you can hook batteries. An airsoft battery up to it so it can be mobile too.
Yeah. 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 But that's how we run our outdoor. So our indoor field, obviously we have power. So all of my indoor boxes are hooked up to AC power. So I don't, when we first got the system, we used to run them off 9.6 volts when we got out there, and we have one, two, well, at the time I had 12 boxes on the indoor field. In different buildings and stuff to do different game modes. Like we did a King of the Hill game mode where I went and bought the color changing LED light bulbs. And the way that our power system runs inside where the lights are, they're actually 120 volt plugs, like just like a plug-in.
Oh, nice.
So I bought the light bulb to plug-in conversion deal where you can just screw a light bulb into it. And I put those over, and it worked out perfect. We didn't even plan this, but the zones worked out perfect. So we had 11 boxes. I apologize. We had one for each spawn, and then we had 9 zones. And over those zones, I could change those LED lights to a different color. So like if we played King of the Hill, I could shut the light off and turn another one on the field on a different place, green. And that box, I would have to run 2 systems. I'd have to run my phone with the light system, and then I'd have a tablet that ran the skirmish system. And I would be able to turn the box off so it would stop collecting points, and then turn another box on and turn the light on above it. And so then the players would switch and go to another box to start King of the Hill. You go over there. And you start.
That's awesome. Collecting.
It was fun. Enjoyed it. Very, very time consuming for me.
Sure.
It wasn't so much at the beginning when the business first started, because I had all the time in the world. Business was just starting. Now I'm in the office and preparing guns and doing the administrative side, taxes, ordering stuff, I'm very much on the administrative side of everything now. So I can't really get out there and go do anything. But back to the skirmish system, when we had 11 boxes in there, that means every day I would have to go out there and I'd have to plug 11 batteries in. And then at the end of the night, I'd have to bring them back in and charge them.
Yep.
And it just got, and then if I'm charging 11 batteries there, how do I charge my rentals? Then I've got 30 NIM chargers up here that I'm trying to, bounce back and forth. And I talked to Brandon about that. And I was like, man, why can't I just use a LiPo battery? And they were kind of about that, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And so I did. And I bought, I got some bricks. I bought some 7,000 or 8,000 milliamp monstrous batteries that just barely fit in the pouch in the battery slot. And then they'd go all weekend and I wouldn't have to charge them. So
that's awesome.
You just go out there and go turn the boxes off. Well, then those batteries, they started wearing out and everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, I asked Brandon about it. I was like, hey, can these run off AC power? Do they have to run off batteries? He's like, no, they have a USB, micro USB port in the side. You just lift this little flap up and you plug it in, and then they could run. I was like, cool. Got on Amazon. I ordered a whole bunch of really cheap 1.5 volt plug-in bricks and some 10-foot and 15-foot micro USB cables, and I plugged them all in. And now when I shut the lights off, the box is shut off. And when I turn the lights on, because the way the lighting, the power is in there, all the boxes turn on. So they turn off and turn on every night, and I don't have to go do it.
That's awesome.
But the indoor field or the outdoor field, those are all battery powered. And I got away from the LiPos. I went back to the NEM batteries, but I bought some 9.6 NEMs that are 3,000 milliamp, and they last a really long time. And if I drain them all the way, unlike a LiPo, if I drain it all the way, I don't have to worry about killing the battery. I just go plug it in and it charges,
Right.
And, I've taken some of these boxes that Brandon has sent me, and now I don't know if I should say this or not. I don't know if I'm special, because I've been working with him so long on these boxes, but he sends me these boxes, and then I modify them, and I make all kinds of different things. I really want to go and get a couple of the modifications. Would you mind if I stepped out for a second and grabbed them?
Yeah, go ahead, dude.
Okay. Well, hopefully my phone doesn't fall when I shut the door. I'll be right back.
All right, brother.
All right. So, here is the medic box. Now I designed this and come up with the idea. This is completely waterproof, and my ref brought me Betty so I can show you guys this.
Nice.
You need anything else? Nope, that would be all. Thank you. All right. So I designed this. So it runs off of the battery's built in. This has the charging port right here, so I don't have to open this up. And then the power key. And so I can turn this on. I'm pretty sure the battery should still be hooked up. Yeah. But I think it's dead. Unfortunate. Anyway, so it might have got bumped and turned on, and then Nobody shut the key off. But anyway, so I put, this is just his normal box. I haven't done anything to this box. I did do some wiring changes. There's a switch that goes on the top of these that you turn them on and off. And I took that switch out and redid the wiring so it can come down into this key. And then it also has the charge port down here so that I can just stick the battery in and, or maybe that's the problem. Somebody's stuck a 9.6. This runs off of Dean's. I'm a hardcore believer in Dean's connections.
And, yeah, Dean's are the Dean's is great.
I do not care for the Tamiya connections. I've learned that. So anyway, so you know, going back to the medics being able to carry this, this is it right here. I mean, the band will still scan through this plexiglass. It can scan up to an inch and a half thick piece of wood. I've tested it personally.
Whoa, so, that's awesome.
So, you know, you build four or five of these or six or however many medics you want, and then you can paint them. You know, this is just spray painted, not the greatest spray paint job, but that's just it. Your medic can carry these around and you can get medic, and you can still do the armband thing. I mean, you know, with the ace bandages or whatever, and you don't have to get rid of that. This just adds that dynamic
right
into the game of the respawns, which goes back into the points and stuff.
Dude, that's amazing, because that was one of the things I was trying to figure out with these milsims and stuff was, okay, well, yeah, you can do the respawn points, but what about, you know, these guys get medicked on the fly, you know, wherever they don't, that way they don't have to, because you could have it set up like at a medic station, right? You could set one of these boxes in like a medic station. Okay, you got to drag this person over here to kind of medic. You could figure it out, you know, but some of these areas in some of these, you know, milsim fields are, you'd have to drag somebody quite a long way to set mm-hmm. one of these boxes. Like if you had to put it in a building or, you know, fixture or something like that. So that is an awesome idea, man. Having it mobile like that. Cause when Brandon and I talked, I said, there's gotta be a way to like mobilize that thing. Maybe you could, you know, where somebody could carry it around on them, and, you did it. That's awesome.
Yeah. And you know, and that's a thing, you know, I get a whole, and that's why I say, when I told you, when I first got this system, that I broke it. They didn't even plan for it to do some of the things that I make it do. And, it's just really opened up. Like, you know, I bring these ideas to Brandon and he's like, oh, okay. And, you know, and we work together really well on that. The other thing, did you ever play Halo when it came out?
Oh, Halo was my, yeah, that was my favorite game.
You're going to recognize this then.
Oh, dude, the skulls are awesome. Yes.
This is the only one made by Skirmish. I purchased, this is an anatomically correct skull. And it's got the Skirmish guts inside of it. Now, I was going to plug it in and show it to you, but somebody did leave this one plugged in, so the battery's completely dead. But this works as a collection point. So you can run around and I had to tape the head up because I didn't want the guts fall. We've had to repair it once because, you know, on trial runs, somehow the board shorted out on something in there. So we've made it a little bit better, but you put your band, you know, right here on the top, and the lights on the eyes, actually, I don't know if you can see them in there, but there's LED lights in the eyes.
Yep.
And they light up. And so whenever you first turn it on, they're purple, and then it'll go to red. And then as you scan, they light up green, or they light up yellow. And then whenever you get a point, they flash green to let you know you got a point, but you can see it. And, but we're the only ones that have that one. I'm pretty proud of that.
Dude, the Halo skulls are classic, bro. Those are classic. But
we play oddball with this.
That's so perfect.
It's a collection point game. And, mm-hmm. That's another game mode that Skirmish can do. So you can do, a capture point, which it gives you points every 2 minutes or 1 minute or whatever you have the point accumulation time set to. With this, we can set it and do a collection. We call it chicken, but you can do a collection game mode. And it's, I want to say every 4 or 5 seconds, you get a point. So the longer you set and hold on it, we, when Brandon fixed that, so the first time that he came out with the collection game modes, again, something that we had talked about, and he went in and he did his, you know, coding, programming, mastermind this, and he got it out, and he pushed it to my system, and we talked about it. He's like, hey, let's test this. And I went out, and we were closed, or we didn't have any people or something. I don't remember what it was, but we didn't have anybody here. And I have a couple of, we call them our rental skirmish bands. They're not like the ones that you have.
Right.
They're I've round, red. Okay. So anyway, so I took a couple of those, and I scanned one to each team, and then I set the middle box on our indoor field to collection, and I went out there and I scanned it, and it was like the respawn time out here is like 2.5 seconds. It's like, boop, and it's done, and you respawn, you go back in. That was what the collection points were like. Almost. It was like 3 seconds. You just, I was like, beep, 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 beep. And you got points. Every time you heard that beep, you got points. And it was just like, I got on there. And, you know, Brandon and I had talked about the leaderboard a little bit before, because remember how I said for like a year and a half, Katie Garrisoft was dominating the leaderboard. Uh-huh. Like, we held all top 10 spaces. You know, he got a little sour about that for a minute. He's like, hey man, you're not giving these other fields a chance to like even be on the leaderboard. I was like, I can't help it that all these other fields only play team deathmatch. Cause you don't get points, with the team deathmatch as right. It's set up. You don't get points. We have a game mode called TDM Plus, which mm-hmm. incorporates capture points into it. Okay. And gives you lives. So it can give you points. But if you just play regular TDM, it'll track the deaths on each team. And then at the end, you can be like, oh yeah, you know, this team, you know, had this many deaths, this team had this many deaths, this team won. And you can get points. They're called survival points. So if you don't die a whole bunch, if you have like the lowest deaths on your team or whatever, it'll give you like a point or two, but it's
I was
really
going to say, that's how you fix the TDM point thing is, for TDM with using the skirmish system is each team starts with 500 points, let's say, and mm-hmm. whoever gets to zero loses. Mm-hmm. And the other team would have an actual score at the end. So they, you know, that's the way you keep track of, you know.
So that's a really good idea. The biggest problem, and it's really with everything, is honor.
Oh, right. Like they have to hit the box. The respawn
well, you
box.
Have to like, yes, you have to. You have to go back. You know, we've run into players that just, they don't want to use the system. They just want to come out here. They just want to shoot people. They walk back into sure. respawn. They walk in, walk out, and they don't ever scan their band. And so, I mean, you have to deal with that. I mean, it's going to happen everywhere. It doesn't matter. Sure. You're not going to get rid of the cheating. But with
unless
with
you put
TDM,
a little, well, no, there, yeah, it's going to have to, yeah, it's an honor system.
But I told him when he did that, when he first put it out, and we had kind of had a little tiff about the leaderboard, I was like, Brandon, like, you don't want to see large points on the leaderboard. I said, you're going to have to fix the collection system. You're going to have to figure out something. I said, otherwise you're going to start seeing 200 and 300 point games, not even a daily score. But we're talking like games, and if we run collection and you run 3 games an hour, like our games are 15 minutes long, you know, and you can't really force these guys to get up off their butts to go and get ready for a game. If they don't want to play, they're not going to play it, you know?
Right.
So we average about 2 games an hour, just depending. And so if you're scoring 200 points every game, you know, at the end of the night, and you've stayed, let's say on Friday, we're open from 4 to 10. That's 6 hours airsoft. That's 2 hours. And let's say our first game starts at 5. that's, what is that? That's about, we'll just say an average of 12 games. So 12 times 200 points.
Right.
200 points times 12. You know, you're going to be seeing, what is that? 2,200 points on the leaderboard from one guy. And I told him, I was like, no, man. 2,400
points every Friday.
Yeah. And I was like, you're going to have to fix it. That ain't going to work. And so he did it to where it was like, it was random. It was like a dice roll, but like, like a 25% chance. It worked out to where it was like every 7 scans, you got a point.
Yeah.
But I've gone out there and I've done it. And it's, oh man, it was so random. It really was. Like, I would scan 2 bands and then I would go on the outdoor field because we had to make sure that I was doing some tests on ranges for the boxes too with the skull, because we had just got the skull. So I was doing tests to make sure that it was communicating with the controller. Yeah. And so I was scanning these bands and I was sitting there holding on there, and like the red band, it would scan 7 times and get 1 point. And then I'd switch out and I'd do the blue band, and the first 3 scans that it got would be all points. And I was like, well, that's not really fair. That's extremely up the chance.
Yeah.
Then. So, I mean, you could hold the oddball for 5 minutes and only walk away with, I don't know, you know, 30 points. And the next guy holds it for another 5 minutes and walks away with 50 just because of the way the randomness worked. But he got it changed to where you can change the amount, the seconds. And I think the fastest you can do it is 5 seconds. So every 5 seconds you scan it, it gives you a point. And so that really worked. That really changed the dynamic on collection. But the first time that he fixed that, when he implemented that change and we started playing collection again, dude, I went out there. I was like, I'm playing this game. I'm going to do it. And I scored 139 points in that game. And I was just like, because, again, airsoft is a team sport. And I hooked up with 2 of my regulars that come out. They were on my team. And we got inside one of the buildings that has, you know, a doorway on one side and a door. The building is 8 by 12. Yeah, it's 8 by 12. And, you know, it's got a 4-foot doorway on one side. And then on the opposite wall, on the opposite corner, there's another door. And I just posted up in the corner. And because we don't allow you to shoot when you have the oddball, you know, we got to make it somewhat fair.
Right.
And so, I was posted up in the corner scanning, and I had one player guard one door, another player guard another door. And I'd scan for a little bit. We'd probably, I don't know, probably 2 minutes or so. And then we'd be like, okay, rotate. And then, you know, I'd set the skull down. I'd grab my gun and I'd hit the doorway and guard the doorway. And the guy, and I would take that guy's place. And then he would start scanning so he could get some points. And, you know, we did that. We dominated. That game was horrible. I felt so bad for everybody on the other team. And I tried not to, I try to balance the teams out in fairness. You know, every game that we play, we use armbands, and they are, after the game, everybody turns their armbands in. So the next time that you play, you're not going to play with all the same people. So tries to keep the game fair. But as far as that goes, man, the skirmish system, I wish these people would just, I wish they would just give it 5 minutes of their time.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah, I'm same way, man. I'm all in on the way it works and the potential for it. And if some of these big, you know, mil sims, what I'd love to see, I mean, I'm just curious, just as a, you know, spectator, I guess, just to see how it would look, you know, at the end of, I'd love to see like the tryhards or some of these bigger teams that go to these, mil sims, whatever, you know, the, Gorilla Gun Club, shout out to you guys. Shout out to Tryhard. Shout out to all these teams I've talked with that go to these big milsims as a team. I'd love to see them on the leaderboard for a giant milsim, you know, and see how many points they got and what their players did during that milsim. Yeah, I mean, this is I don't get it. I don't know. I can't see why what the holdup is, you know, for implementing these at the field. It only adds to, like you said earlier, it's only going to add to the excitement of the game. It's like a marketing tool for your event. Like, hey,
for sure.
I mean,
if you could go in and say, like, you're not just going in and wasting ammo on a whole bunch of things. If you can go in and say, hey, we have these objective points and you can go in and take the skirmish system and scan it. And like, if you're the first one in your group, in your team, in your squad or whatever, to go hit one of these boxes and scan it, the entire time that your team owns that box, you get points. You get player points. And then you also get objective control points, which goes back to your command, to your overall point score. So, you know, if you, like you're talking about, you know, these tryhards or these guys, these organized teams, like, you know, even here, a bunch of my friends and everything, we're an organized team. You know, we went to Arsenal as Havoc Squad and we were 15 strong going out. We were our own squad going out there.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, man. These guys that do really put in this work and actually really do play the game in a realistic manner can also say, hey, you know, they can use it for promotions inside their ranks or awards or whatever and say, hey, we went out. I'm just going to use Arsenal because that's where I went. We went out to Arsenal and we played and, you know, so-and-so was on top of his game. He was there. He was taking points. You know, why don't we, and you go and do all these different events. You can do things like we do, like Squad of the Year, guys that shown improvement in their training and their playing. And that just adds another dynamic to that where it's trackable. It's mm-hmm. not just because like with us, we kind of have to vote on it and, you know, who's showing the most improvement and everything. With this, it's a visual. There's no question about it. This guy got out here. He comes in. He puts in the work. He plays. Yep. He hits these objective points, you know, and it tracks your deaths, too. So, you know, if you wanted to implement that into a, like, you know, how hard did you play or whatever, and if mm-hmm. you're playing right, playing fair, you know, because if you got a guy that's going out there all the time and playing really hard and hitting all these capture points, but you know, his death count is not quite right there. Like, I know there's some good players out there, but you're not that good.
You ain't that good, bro. Yeah. And we saw you die at least 5 times and you only have 2 scans out there, bro. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. And I've seen it happen, but you know, that's the thing. It can be implemented like that. You can use it like that. And if your local field gets a hold of it, you don't just have to go to these Milsom events to do it. If your local field gets a hold of it and that's where you go and train, you can use it as that, yeah. You know, for an example, we do private parties and stuff, or private, you can do a private field time. And if you want to get your team out here and rent the field for 2 hours and do some practice training or something on it, or you do some like force on force, like you split your team in half and play against each other. And you can use the system to track the points like that and see how each one did. And you can kind of see too, it can help you track where some squaddies are lacking or need some work. And because, you know, they're not really aggressive. I'm definitely not on the aggressive side of it, but it's really up to you, whatever you want to use it for. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that the opportunity to do it is there now. I mean, when people come in and they ask me, what is a skirmish system? And I say, you ever played laser tag? And they're like, yeah. I was like, you know how it like tracks your points and your scores and all this other stuff? And they're like, yeah, this is the laser tag equivalent for airsoft.
Yep.
And that's it. You know, and if Brandon gets mad at me for saying that or whatever, he feels a special kind of way about the system. Because like I said, he did this at Balahack and he designed this system. He honestly designed this system for Milsom events.
Yep.
He really did. And that's where, like, if you really want to see this system shine, that's where it would shine.
Absolutely.
But as far as like implementing it into your daily field, I do it with 3 fields.
Dude, you know, I love it.
I have and so it can be done. And he did an event up here at the Rock Airsoft, the Mandalorian. Yep. They did a Star Wars themed event there. And I was up there. Brandon and I were both there for that event.
Oh, you were there for that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I went with Brandon. Originally it was just going to be me, because Brandon, he lives up north on, and, he wanted somebody local. Cause I think this was the first time.
Yeah.
He was sending the skirmish system out on a lease for an event. Right. So he wanted somebody there that somewhat knew this. Now, like, I don't know the inner workings. Like, he showed me
how to set it up.
Yeah. If there's a problem with the box, unless it's like
right.
it's a hardware problem, I can fix it. And if it's a software issue, I could pull him up on the phone and say, hey, Brandon, box DB96 is on, but we're not getting a signal. It's not communicating with the controller. What's going on? So anyway, he wanted me to go up there and go help him out. And so I went up there, but I ended up going up there and taking a bunch of retail stuff and everything and kind of setting up to sell, because a retailer that was supposed to come down and do that kind of fell through last minute. And so Brandon ended up flying down for the weekend and doing the Star Wars event with me. And huge success. As a matter of fact, I do believe that they are going to be using the system again on their next event.
Yeah, they
are. So massive. So just right there, you know, they were wondering about it. They were curious how they could implement it into the system. I haven't spoke with the I can't even remember his name, and I feel horrible about it now.
What six millimeter Mandalorian?
Yeah, 6mm Mandalorian. But
I had him on the podcast. Yeah.
But I would love to speak with him post game, because I had to hurry up and get out of there and come down here and run the field, because I took a day off on Saturday to go do that. But Sunday I didn't. It was just me and my wife running the field, so I had to be back down here. And it's not very far away from me. It was only like an hour and a half away, about 2 hours away. But anyway,
it's not too bad.
I really wanted to speak with him afterwards about his thoughts on the system, and how he felt how did it enhance his gameplay? Like that would be amazing. And you know, I'm gonna reach out to Brandon too after this and ask him if he's talked to it. Like, do post event interview
after action report.
There you go. After action report. Say, so you use the skirmish system. You've ran these events before. What did the system add to your event that you liked? Uh-huh. And, you know, and also on the other side, you know, what were some of the cons about the system? And I can tell you one of the cons about the system is just the setup. I mean, you have to, you know, you have to have a map designed to work first off, but that literally I sent Brandon, I got on Google Maps, I took a screenshot of my field for the woods.
Yeah.
Drew the boundaries. I put it on my phone, drew the boundaries with pen and drew some lines and stuff in there, sent him the picture, and he turned it into the map and put the boundaries on it. So it's not a massive con. Another downside is going and setting the boxes up in that location.
Right.
But that's also another great thing about that system. Especially when you use it on a field all the time, players get used to that box being in a certain area. And that's the great thing about it. It runs on batteries. And as long as you stay within the boundaries of that area, you can move that box around inside that. So it's not monotonous. They run in there and it's used to, they're used to it being on this wall. They go in and they clear it out and they go, oh crap, the box isn't there. And then now all of a sudden their whole plan is just foobar.
Oh no, we got to look for it.
Where the box. Yeah. And
well, that's what I was thinking too, is, you know, to kind of add some excitement to some of these milsims that have been put on for years in a row, you know, like the same milsim every year at the same place. And a lot of the same people go, a lot of the same teams go, and that kind of thing. to add some kind of, you know, these event coordinators are always looking for ways to add some type of way in the game to make it, you know, get rid of the bottlenecks, get rid of the stalemates, get rid of this, you know, the where everybody bunches up and gets bored and, you know, that kind of thing, right? So they're always adding in like a third faction or a special mission or something like that. A great way for using the skirmish box, like, you know, one of these mobile ones, you hide one on the field, okay, like in a non-objective place where normally there's no objective or whatever, you know, and you tell everybody before before the game or the event starts, hey, there's one box out there that whoever captures it, whatever team captures it first, gets an extra 500 points towards your team, you know, towards the whole team, right? Tan or green or whatever. And it adds an element of, okay, so, all right, these guys are going to get together and their main focus is going to go try to find this box instead of getting stuck in the, you know, the monotonous side of, where everyone else gets stuck all the time and trying to take over objective A, which is always in the same spot. You know, you can add some kind of excitement to that. And then not only that, it's where the points will go to the team, but also you'll know on your team, like say Team Havoc or whatever, that you were the individual that captured that box, you know? So, I mean, it's kind of cool. It's, you know, there's a lot of options with these things that you can do and a lot of potential that you can do. I'm actually going to reach out to 6mm Mandalorian tonight and invite him back on because it's been quite a while since he was on. And I'm going to ask him about this because I've got their event pulled up on the screen that you guys were at on Skirmish. I've got, you know, the Galactic Civil War 2 or Galactic Civil War. I've got that pulled up on the screen. And this was just in this past November. So, it's cool, man. I love... you're the first one that I'm able to talk to besides Brandon about Skirmish, about all the different potentials, and you're actually using it like in real time. Like you're using this stuff all the time. You've implemented it and you're using this thing and you're adapting with it and questioning. Cause when we were talking, me and Brandon were talking the first time, I would interrupt him while he's showing me how it works. I'm like, oh, what about this? Could you do this with it? What about using it for this? he's like, I mean, I could, but you know, I'd have to do this or that, you know? So I'm like, dude, there's a lot of potential. One of the things was on these big mill sims where there's, you know, hundreds or 1,000 people is using one box for registration. Like, dude,
yeah.
Register your band, you know, incorporate it with the mill sim event coordinator, whoever's doing that. And then, you know, cause they have to set up their own registration page already, like use the skirmish system for that event. And then you can see who's here, who clocked in. Okay.
So
it would be so much faster, bro.
You can actually. So, he does that. He does have that feature implemented, on the skirmish website, play.skirmish.net. And so, whoever comes in and plays on my field, whenever I look at it from my admin profile, it tells me who's here. It tells me.
It's already built in, but I'm saying these event coordinators need to use it even just for that would be awesome because if you could go up, because the way it works now, like a lot of these guys, you have to wait in a long line and then you have to wait for somebody to get on their laptop and kind of punch your stuff in. And I'm going, dude, put a box right here where I can put this on my wrist. I already got everything done. I already signed a waiver. Oh, I'm ready to go. Gosh. All I got to do is say that I'm here. So I go, beep. Okay.
Yes.
And it's done.
I have been on him about that for 2 years.
We got to get on these event coordinators for doing it, bro. I'm telling you. Oh
no. So I use a system here called Smart Waiver to check in all my players that have been here. Okay. Now, granted, that won't go away for new players because they always have to come in. They have to sign a waiver. It's all electronic. And then I check them in.
Right.
But you already have the profile made on Skirmish.
Yep.
Right. So I've been trying to get him to implement a way for me to be able to put a box up at the counter. So, and I can put it, link it to it. So when somebody comes in, they just, one, I don't have to ask them if they have their skirmish band. They just walk up, they scan their band in, it pulls their profile up. I have all of their information. I can have a waiver attached to it. If they want to have any, I used to do money on accounts here. So like when parents would come drop their kids off or whatever, they would just say, hey, can I put $20 on their account?
Oh, nice.
And for snacks or concessions or whatever. Sure. And I'm like, yeah. And then I would put it on there. I think that was through an app called Easy Facility. Then I paid too much for the little amount of features that I used on it. You know, gotcha. What I mean? So,
Brandon, build that into the thing too.
Yeah. Right. Right. No, dude, I have been on him about that. He's like, I don't really want to like have to figure out how to do that. And I was like, you don't even have to, because he was worried about storing money and it being encrypted and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, you don't even have to do that. All you have to do is make it to where when somebody comes in, and because all these boxes are RFID readers, that, you know, they just scan it in, it pulls it up in the system, and you leave me a little spot right on their profile where I can type in how much money they have on their account. I take the money, I take responsibility for that. You know, even if it's like credit cards or something like that, I can implement that into my POS and say, like I can ring it up, no tax, obviously, because it's a credit, and put, you know, credit on account.
And right. Like it would just be an added, almost like a note on their thing where you're just putting a basic number in. Okay.
Brandon, you better watch this podcast. I'm going to send it to you after it's done, and you better get this implemented.
Oh, dude, we're going to throw so much at him. He's going to be like, oh,
he's going to be
on.
Like, oh my God. And you know what? Now it's, and anybody who watches this podcast is going to see it. And hopefully these people, these other fields that have this system, because there's several, there's quite a few, they see this and they're like, yeah, Brandon, why don't you have this incorporated in yet? It would make our life so much easier. And he's just going to be like, he's going to call me. He's going to be like, I hate you, dude. He's like,
I love you, but I hate you.
I totally get it. You know, registration at these Milsom events, it's crazy. And that's the thing. You can, like, American Milsom, they have four people in the American Milsom tent.
Yeah.
That you have to go up to and sign the waiver and sign the paperwork. And of course, when you buy the ticket, you fill out all your information, but you still have to go to the guy and give him your name to make sure that you're in the system.
Right.
And if he can incorporate that into Skirmish, where, well, you're already using the system, it's already here. You can get it pulled up on a tablet. You can pull it up on a phone. You can pull it up onto anything that has an internet connection. Excuse me. And they just walk up and they scan the band. It's going to have their information on it. You can, if you'd have to do a feature that would like attach tickets to it or whatever, you know, from like Ticket Hub, and that's it. You just walk up, scan it, and you're checked in.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you your bag. There's no filling out paperwork or nothing like that. And it's done. And it
well,
would,
you know,
it'd
be a selling point, a good selling point for the whole system. Would be not only good for the event host at that location, but also for Skirmish would be, anyone that's got the Skirmish, you know, band, you signed up for it, you bought it, you've already got it registered, you set up your profile and everything. And, you know, you already registered for the event, you bought your ticket, blah, blah, blah. When you get to the event, this is like the fast track line. So we've got 10 boxes, just for check-in, just for Skirmish people. You walk in, and then everyone that's standing in these long lines waiting to go up to somebody at a laptop, you know, waiting for them to punch your stuff in. All these people with the Skirmish bracelets are going up there, tap, 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 and everyone's like, whoa, what are you guys doing? Like, oh, that's our check-in. We're done. Like, dude, I want to get that.
Oh,
okay, like,
for sure.
Come on.
For sure.
Let's go, baby. This is 2024.
Exactly. And that's the thing, like on a really, really busy day for us here, No, I am a smaller field. I'm not located in a city of like 2 million people, you know? So, but we still give it. I've had lines from the check-in counter backed all the way up into my player area. You know, I've got 30 people in line waiting for us to check in, do waivers and make sure that they're checked in. Sure. And take their money and everything else like that. If that, that stuff is already in there and they want to, they've come in, you know, and that's the other thing with loading their account up. You know, if they come in and they just scan in and they put $50 on their account last time they were there, it's not going anywhere. And so they scan in and now that's it. They're done. Their waiver's already checked in. I know they don't have to watch a safety video. They have their skirmish band and they have their account with money on it. And I could just, you know, deduct the money from it and they're good to go. No waiting in long, a long line.
Yep.
So
yeah, that's,
you're 100% on point with that. Like
there's a lot of potential, man. I know we've been talking about the skirmish thing for a while and I love talking about it. I really do, man. I want to see the potential. I want to see what, you know, these bigger events or whatever. Now the one you guys went to, the Galactic Civil War, I believe he was telling me that was with the basic bands. So it wasn't individual. These were just the ones. Yes. So you can't track individual things, but the next one that they do, I'd love to see where the majority of the people they go to this have an individual band and they could create their Star Wars character type of profile for that event, you know, for that band. And it shows what they've done, you know, through that event.
And that's the thing. All of that stuff is customizable on the skirmish, on yep. the website. And all that would take would be for Brandon to just add a couple more lines on a form that you fill out and you put your information in.
Yeah, he's got okay. So the leaderboard down here on this event that you guys were at, he's actually got some individual players call signs for that event. Off to I'm definitely going to reach out to Mandalorian and get him on here again and talk about this event and how the experience was. But yeah, from what Brandon said, what you said, you know, it sounds like it went awesome. So it's been pretty cool.
I know that he was pretty excited about it. Like I said, the only con to the system, especially if you're working on a very large facility, would be setting up all the boxes.
Yeah, set it up.
But if you're already in that that setting, like let's just, you know, Ball Hack or Arsenal or, you know, whatever we're talking like 100 or 200 acre playing fields, you're already going to have a gator or a four wheeler or yeah. some type of UTV. And you just, you know, on all of our boxes, well, just like on the skull here, for example, you know, they have numbers on them. You can't hardly see it on the camera, but there's numbers on here. And then I have a map. I have a map of my field layouts with the numbers of the boxes on there. And then on the boxes, I have their locations, which are locations on the map. So you just load them up in a gator or a, you know, razor, whatever you have. And you just drive to each one of these locations and set the box up, flip the switch on.
Yep.
And that's it.
That's it.
You know,
done for the weekend.
And yep. And now again, the other downside is tear down. You do have to go and, sure. and pull all the boxes down every night and turn them off and charge the batteries. But I've been experimenting with different battery sizes.
Yeah.
Seeing which one lasts the longest. Mm-hmm. And right now, my boxes that go out into my woods field, they will last 3 days. I've accidentally left one of the boxes out there on and in red spawn, which is the farthest away from me. I left it outside for 3 days and brought it back in and the battery was still good. Nice. So it's just a matter of experimentation with them and
right.
And I do think he was doing some tests at his house for range between each box.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the maximum range he told me was 300 yards.
Yeah.
Between each box. But if you start spanning location, if you start spanning larger areas than that, these boxes are repeaters. So you can just literally bring another box out and just set it up somewhere, like in the middle of a field or whatever. And it doesn't have to be an objective control point.
No,
it can just,
it's communication just box. Yeah.
Yeah. And it, later, if you want it to become an objective control point, you literally just log into the system and change its settings. And now all of a sudden it's a, I don't know, collection point or bomb or whatever you want it to be.
There you go.
You know? So, yeah.
Well, Kyle, it's been great talking with you, man. I know you're at the field there, and I know you guys are probably wrapping up about now for a Friday night. And I don't want to keep you forever, but
my wife's coming to the door a couple of times staring out.
Oh, really?
Like, what are you doing?
When do you come back in?
Yeah, that's why I came out to the car to do this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I knew that if I went to the office, the doors, the room itself is soundproof, but the door is not soundproof. So any kids running around screaming and stuff in there. So
no, this worked out great.
It's been amazing. I'm really happy that I got to talk a little bit about KDK Airsoft, but you know, at the end of the day, that's just a field. You know, I got started into it and I love it and I run it. I do it for the kids. Definitely. Anybody that thinks about doing an airsoft field, maybe I'm doing it wrong, but you're not doing it for the money. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're doing it for the love of the sport, and you're doing it for, you know, the youth and the community and giving the community something to go do.
That's one of the things I always joke with people on here is, you know, most people that run airsoft, anything in airsoft, are not really making a whole lot of money, whether it's a YouTube channel or a field, or the only ones that make decent money in it or where there's money to be made are probably the bigger retailers, right? Like Evike and Airsoft GI and that kind of thing, and maybe manufacturers. But you could make decent money with, you know, being an event coordinator. You know, you get 1,000 people to an event at $200 a ticket. You know, that's a big chunk of change, but it takes a lot of work. And how many can you do? I mean, you got, it's just, you know, you have insurance, you have the field, you have, so, I mean, there's that's the running joke is, you know, most people in airsoft aren't really making, you know, they're not getting super rich. You can make a living off of it, but, you know, it's a business, man. It's going to take some. But, tell everybody where they can find all your stuff for your field and everything.
So you guys can catch us up on Google, Google search KDK Airsoft. We have a Google page on there. Hit us up on Facebook again, just at KDK Airsoft. Instagram is also KDK Airsoft. I made it simple. It's all KDK Airsoft. So you can get on any of those social media sites or search engine and find us on there and look us up. And I would love for everybody to come out and give us a chance, give us a shot, come play, get hooked up in this skirmish system. I've had some people from Europe come over here and come play on my field. And then they were here for a school event or something. They were here for something. And they decided to come play airsoft. They chose my field. They come out here. They played. And then for like 2 weeks afterwards, I was getting hits on my website from Europe. So they went back and they told everybody about it. And it was pretty awesome. So, you know, we've had people from all around the world come out and come play. And I'm really proud of that fact. And it's been amazing. So, again, Google, Facebook, Instagram, even our website, kdkairsoft.com. And get a hold of us on there and. You know, everything goes to my phone. I'm a small business owner, so I don't ever rest at all. It all goes to my phone. My wife gets mad at me. The phones are forwarded to my cell phone during the week. So I'll be in the middle of doing something and I'll answer the phone. She's like, "What are you doing? The field's closed." I'm like, "You don't even know how many birthday parties I've booked with the field being closed." And somebody's just like, "Oh, you guys are closed." Yeah, don't worry about it. I got to explain it to them. 10 minutes later, they're on our website booking a birthday party.
Nice.
So, you know. I never rest, bro. I never rest.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Well, you're passionate about it, man. That's good. That's great. That's why your field is doing well.
I appreciate it. And, you know, anybody else that's looking forward to doing it or starting up their own field, you know, give me a holler. I'm not into this whole competitive deal like, oh, no, my field's going to be better than your field. I don't care about all that. I want the sport to grow because when the sport grows, that means I got more players. Yeah, every time I make more money.
A rising tide raises all ships. Okay.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you being on, brother. Hope you have a good rest of the night. Shout out to Skirmish one more time for sponsoring the podcast and obviously being a great addition to your field over there. And
Yeah,
thanks a lot, Kyle. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you, sir. And I will. I look forward to watching this a little bit later, so my wife doesn't think that I blew 2 hours out in the car doing nothing.
Right. All right, brother. Have a good one, man.
Yeah. Peace. You too.